This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mike Strands. Mike is with National Farmers Union. He's set to join us in just a moment. How did technology 100 years ago change today's landscape? We turn to the author of the book, Tractor Wars, Neil Dahlstrom.
So think about technology adoption with your early adopters and kind of think of your bell curve of, okay, who follows suit? You've got a lot of early machines that didn't do what their makers said they did. So there's a lot of growing pains with that. You've got infrastructure issues to deal with. If you buy a new machine and it breaks down, who do you go to for repairs? You know, you have to have trained mechanics. And when every machine's different, when there's no standards in place, it's all confusing and complicated for consumers. So that's a big part of the story as well.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Mike Strands. Mike is Vice President of Advocacy with the National Farmers Union. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Tony. Good to be with you today.
Well, you know, last time we had the opportunity to visit, just was joking about this prior to coming on the air here, the fact that it wasn't quite a year ago, but things were reopening in D.C. finally, and just sounded like the city was kind of hustling and bustling again. Now that we're in 2022, are we still seeing some of that hustle and bustle, or have we started tightening things down again?
Gosh, it's been so uncertain the last few months here, too, after, like you said, things opened back up last summer, little bit by little bit. We've hit a setback here, like so many of us have, but I think that hopefully things are trending in the right direction and we'll be hustling and bustling again by summertime, if not sooner. So hoping that things can get back to something a little closer to normal.
And we speak of getting back to normal. I don't know if we can ever get back to normal when it comes to just seeing meat and other products back into the grocery store shelves. It just seems like it was the perfect storm, if you will, that has hit as far as competition is going. I know that's something you've been really following on your radar, isn't it?
It certainly is, and it's something that Farmers Union's been tracking for decades, and it's like the perfect storm hit at a time when we were already having problems and pretty significant problems. So when the meat industry and the meat sector has already been so consolidated for so long that when there were supply chain disruptions back at the beginning of the pandemic and now with the workers getting sick in plants and then the subsequent supply chain issues that we've seen and coronavirus still being a big part of the workforce problems, as we saw, you know, nearly 60,000 meat packing plant workers sickened by the pandemic through the course of 2020 and much of 2021, it exposed a lot of the frailties we have in the food chain. And the food system's been tested, and that's been particularly evident, like you said, at the meat counter. When we talked last back in the early summer last year, that was just before we saw President Biden's executive order to establish more competition and fairness throughout the economy. And a big piece of that, like we've seen, has been in the meat sector. And since then, we've heard the president talk about how capitalism without competition isn't capitalism, it's exploitation. And we've heard Secretary Vilsack raise this up as a priority for USDA to bring up more choices and opportunities for processing in the meat supply chain, amongst other steps. And we've heard from the Department of Justice and their commitment to further antitrust enforcement and a number of other government agencies and even Congress getting involved with some legislation for market transparency. We've seen a lot of action and we've seen a lot of promise for more action that we're going to keep pushing for in 2022. So, yeah, return to normal or where we were before, I hope we can make some progress from where we were before and help have a more resilient and competitive meat industry for farmers and ranchers in particular.
you know, we talk about that. What about things? I mean, there are some tools, I think, maybe that that are in the toolbox, if you will, or have been in the past. Packers and Stockyards Act. Are you watching that as well? And is that a tool that that can provide maybe some relief, some reform? What do you see on that front?
Certainly, yeah. Packers and Stockyards Act rulemakings are in the offing. We've been hearing from the administration for a number of months now that they're preparing to issue some new rules on how they administer and enforce parts of the Packers and Stockyards Act. This will be welcome news, and we'll put some teeth into this bill and this legislation that has, over the years, not gotten the amount of enforcement that it truly needed. So we're excited to see some progress there, and there will be a lot to sound off on when the rules are proposed, and it'll be a good opportunity to offer support or critique, depending on how they shake out in the rulemaking process. So looking forward to that. I don't know, however, that Packers and Stockyards Act reform and rules will be the end of it. There's already been efforts to establish more processing diversity. There's been some work towards more transparency in the marketplace, but we're also going to need antitrust enforcement. And some of that can come through actions by the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission, but we may well need to see some legislation that will help antitrust across the economy be more enforceable and more of a protection for those in the economy who aren't multinational corporations that dominate their part of the industry. So hopefully we can see some progress on that front soon.
Now, some might wonder, well, you know, that's at a corporate level. That really doesn't affect me at the rural level, if you will. Is this a place where the fairness for farmers really comes in?
Absolutely. I think what we've learned most as NFU has advocated through our Fairness for Farmers campaign, where we've helped uplift the voices of farmers union members and our neighbors across the country, members have spoken up about the lack of competition in for a market for what they grow and produce or for what their inputs are. But also we hear about how rural communities are worse off because there are fewer retail options, there are fewer grocery options, there's fewer banking options. Those sorts of issues of consolidation, lack of competition, aren't limited to agriculture in rural communities. They hit many of our institutions and many of our commercial lives, I guess. So that's been a common refrain there. And I think as you look out across all of the policy arena right now, you're hearing from other parts of the economy, not just agriculture, but also tech. You're hearing from retail. You're hearing from grocers. You name it, where the smaller players in those industries want to have a chance to succeed. And without competition, that's really limited.
So, Mike, one area that when we think about agriculture and we think about Congress, one of the first things we think about is the Farm Bill. And I don't know that we're nearing the end as much as we're nearing the starting line of the debate for the next Farm Bill, what should be known probably as the 2023 Farm Bill. Is that something you're watching? And if so, what's Farmers Union really wanting to see in this next Farm Bill?
So it appears the Agriculture Committees are signaling that they'll be starting up hearings directly on the Farm Bill, kind of doing some background and setting the stage for more consideration and debate in the next year and 9 months before the current bill expires. So the Farm Bill show is about to start, so to speak. Farmers Union is entering this phase of the year where our state conventions are wrapping up right now. We've gotten a lot of ideas that have sprung forth from those conventions on policy positions. We've got our National Policy Committee has been meeting, considering those changes and what updates they want to make to our national policy document, identifying some special orders of business. And from those, I expect we'll see some farm bill priorities start to crystallize. I think many of the principles that we've held up over the years, whether it's making sure that there's competition in the marketplace, that we're not in a position where we're pitting farmer against farmer, but instead making sure that we're got a managed supply in a lot of cases where we're not kind of in a race to lower prices. Those sorts of approaches I expect to see reflected in what our members consider and adopt, but the proof will be clear when we have the convention in just a couple weeks here in Denver.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because for those who have never attended a National Farmers Union convention, which is coming up at the end of, I believe, the end of February, first part of March, what do we see from a NFU convention?
That's right. We'll be meeting for our 120th anniversary convention in Denver from February 27th through March 1st. And this will be in person. So we'll be back after being virtual last year. At the convention, like I said, there will be a lot of policy debate and discussion and adoption. But it's also a chance for Farmers Union members to get back together in person after a long time apart in many cases. So we'll also hear from a host of speakers who will be talking about, our Fairness for Farmers efforts and what sort of work our campaign has taken on and how they can speak out and have their voice heard. We'll do some retrospectives of sorts and consideration about what the pandemic has exposed about some of the trouble spots in our communities and how workers have had to respond to that. I think that'll be pretty interesting. We'll have a whole set of other breakout sessions as well. And we'll have some fun when we're there, too. So we're all looking forward to some time in Denver in just over a month.
And if you'd like more information about the upcoming convention or just National Farmers Union, can we find you online?
Certainly. You can find us at www.nfu.org or nfu.org/convention for more details about our gathering in Denver.
Mike, great to visit with you. Come back and see us soon, will you?
I'd be happy to. Thanks, Tony.
Mike Strands, Vice President of Advocacy with the National Farmers Union, again online at nfu.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest again today, Mike Strands with National Farmers Union.
As a farmer, there's a lot you can't control. Now there's one thing you can. Introducing the all-new Fendt Rogator 900 Series, the only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance to elevate your control in all seasons. Add Liquid Logic technology and 3-year Gold Star customer care, and you have a machine putting power at your fingertips. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Again, find Farmers Union online at nfu.org. Did you know that the world-famous Café du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Every decade or so, USDA's Economic Research Service looks at trends in irrigated agriculture over time. Economic researcher Aaron Rosenzik shares some of the findings from this most recent report, including...
In 2017, approximately 54% of all the value created through crop sales was attributable to irrigated farms, and that's on less than 20% of harvested cropland.
Meaning, irrigated ag accounts for a small amount of total cropland, yet a larger amount of high-value commodities. Also,
between 1969 and 2018, water use per acre irrigated has decreased from more than 2 acre feet, which is just a volume of water, to less than 1.5 acre feet.
Thanks to both changing cropping patterns and changing methods of irrigation.
What we've seen is this transition away from less efficient gravity means of irrigation to more efficient pressurized means. And that just means that we're able to get similar yields with less water applied.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.